Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
I want to talk to you this morning out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Let's start with verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishness in the confidence of boasting. This is the only place in the Bible that I find where someone is speaking and they're saying, the Lord didn't tell me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since yourself are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if another devours you, and if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face, to our shame I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatsoever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you get this message across. Because, Lord, there's a lot of other messages going around out there. There are messages that are going around that will tickle our ears and make us feel good. But, Lord, we need a message that will get us through this world and get us to heaven. We're not here to be lied to. We're here to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you give us the truth, and I pray that you give us the hearts and minds to accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. The church at Corinth, Paul had led the core to the Lord. Paul had taught them, told them who Jesus was. They accepted Christ as their Savior, and they were following him, and he went on to do other and win other people in other places, Galatia, Ephesians, and so forth, Philippi. And he comes back, and he finds that they are following some orators that seem to be in it for themselves, not for the people. They are preaching, as he says earlier in the chapter, another Jesus. Oh, they're talking about Jesus, but they're talking about another Jesus. Even though they refer to the same one, the one that died, the one that rose again, the one that saved them, but they are not following Jesus, they are using Jesus. They're using Jesus for their own benefit and taking advantage of the people. And I find that happening a lot today. Paul understood that the road that leads to God is a different one. He understood that the road would mold him and shape him into the image of Christ. He also knew that it was a treacherous road and a dangerous road and a dangerous path. If you want to hear messages how that if you get saved, God's going to bless you physically in this world and give you everything that you ever wanted and hoped for and allow you to hire servants, then that's the wrong message. You can leave here and go to quite a number of churches that will tell you that if that's what you want to hear. But Paul said, as God said, you're just a few days in this world full of trouble. He knew what Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And it isn't what you have accumulated in life that makes you a good Christian. It's what you've been through in life that proves that you're a good Christian. Listen to what Paul says. Are these men and women, are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew too. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors and more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison more frequently, and in death more often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods and I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked at night and a day, and I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weakness and toil and sleeplessness of often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides that, other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, I am not weak. Who's made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, I have been, you've been through some things. You've been through some things that I've been through some things that I know ministers have quit over, but you can't quit. You've been through some things that people would just walk away from the Moose or the Elks Lodge, but you stay in church because you can't quit. It isn't what you have, it's what you've been through. And thank the Lord, here I am. Thank the Lord, here you are. We preach the Jesus of the Bible. My life has been wonderful. My life has been wonderful. My life has been blessed. It's been blessed because when troubled times come, I know He has my back. When troubled times come, we look forward by faith. And we know that Jesus knows where we are, just as the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up and Jesus was sitting on the mountain and He had His eye on them. And when He came, they knew it was a miracle. And when God comes to you when you're in trial and distress and going through heartaches and have disagreements in your family and your home and the wives and the husbands and things, you get down to what's real and say, do I love this? Yes, I do. And things are going to change and God will get you through it. The world quits. The world gives up. We live in a world that has created its own Jesus. They've created its own image of who Jesus is. They've distorted the image. We have an image of Christ in the Bible, and it is clear, and it displays the one who God who came to this earth, that went to the cross, that died on the cross, that lived a sinless life and rose again from the dead, showed Himself to over 500 people, ascended into heaven, and said He's coming back, and He said, my path is not easy. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to be tough, and the only way you can be tough enough is with the power of God in your life. You will not withstand without that. You'll be broken and downtrodden, and you'll go from this church to that church to the next church, waiting on someone that will tell you what you want to hear rather than what you need to know. This church has weathered the storms of being lied about, being financially underwater, to being we couldn't find anyone new to come to the church, and if we did, we couldn't give them directions how to get there because we had trouble getting there ourselves. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is true and stands forever. Jesus asked His disciples in Matthew chapter 16, "Who do you say that I am?" And I ask you today, as you said here, who do you say that Christ is? There's a lot of Christ out there, and I jotted down just a few. There's a socialist Christ. Those who are politically socialist, their concern is about redistributing of wealth. So they quote the Bible where Jesus said, if one among you are hungry, and feed them, and so forth. And they make Jesus out to be whoever they want to be. There's a capitalist Jesus that the people don't know who Christ is. They just want to use Christ to get their own way. And he said, he calls us individually, and he gives us that drive, and we should earn as much as we can, the fruits of our labor, and not bury that seed in the ground. Of course, then there's the therapist Jesus that a lot of people worship, and they preach it. You can cope with anything if you have Jesus. Just look forward. And I called this one the Starbucks Jesus. You know, the Starbucks where you sit around and open-minded and you talk about how Jesus just accepts everyone. And you don't have to use his name. You can use Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else. There's the open-minded Jesus. Accepts anyone, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, in any condition. And you don't have to change. Then there's the gold medal Jesus. And we can talk about that for a long time today. He helps your team to win. You know, he helps the person in the Olympics to do better than the non-Christian. He gives you something you didn't earn or you didn't work for just because you're a Christian. You step forward and you can beat the other one in a sporting event. There's the martyr Jesus. They say that's good. The good always die young. The gentle Jesus, the meek, the mild, the high cheekbones, a flowing blonde hair, walks around barefooted and in sandals and a robe and just says, peace, peace, peace. You could have called him the hippie or yippie Jesus, I guess. There's a spiritual Jesus who hates religion, hates churches, hates pastors, hates priests, hates doctrine. But he loves nature and the birds and the fish, and you would walk away from everything that God has built in order just to see the beauty that you want because you don't want to do anything. There's a revolutionary Jesus who blames a system for everything. The guru Jesus, the wise, the inspired teacher that believes in you to find your center. And there's the boyfriend Jesus that we can come to church and we know that as we sing, he'll just wrap his arms around us as we worship. The good example Jesus that helps people. You getting tired of this? I think God is too. I think God's getting tired of showing up at churches and they're not talking about who Jesus is, but they're talking about the Jesus they want him to be and to mold him to be so that they can get what they want, just like these sons of the devil, Paul called them, that were trying to lead this church in Corinth. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a rabbi. He's not just a religious leader and not just another wonder worker. He's the Son of God that appeared in the flesh and blood and in a body and came to show us the way, and it is not an easy way. On the Jericho Road, my daddy used to sing, there's room for just two. No more or no less, just Jesus and you. He conquered death with the resurrection. He is glorified and he's seated into heaven upon the right hand of God the Father. I can tell you this as a minister. He tried to break me to get me out. He tried to offend me to get me out. He tried to make me broke to get me out. He tried every way he could try to get me out. But God got me in. And as I said, I've never asked to preach anywhere in my life. I've never called a church and asked to be its pastor. I've never sent out a resume. And I have preached my entire life. And I can tell you this, it isn't an easy road. Someone is always trying to change the direction of the church. But we as pastors and ministers, Pastor Kay has been here the longest with me, and we have Pastor Michael, Pastor Risen, Pastor Stevens, and Pastor Lisa Keck now, and Jason Dick. God has his hand on him mightily. And I can tell you this. We have not just the view of our friends in mind. We have a view of the entire church. There are some of you that I hang around with, some of you that Michael hang around with, some of you Pastor Kay hangs around with, some of you Pastor Risen hangs around with, and God bless you, and that's good for me, that's good for them, but our goal is not to please you, our goal is to please Him, and that means pleasing everybody in the church. I've had to stand against my friends from time to time because God is right. And Paul said, you think it's an easy road? I want to tell you something. If you're a true Christian, you'll be a survivor. If you're not, Satan will take you down and take you out. And if you're looking for anything other than that in Jesus Christ, you're looking for the wrong thing. He will see you through. He will make a way where there is no way. He will open a door where there is no door. And He'll part the waters for you when He needs to part the waters. They're saying Paul could not be a true apostle because he didn't take money for his preaching. And he said earlier in the chapter, he said, I didn't take money from you because I didn't want to identify with those who were. He said, I took money from the church of Philippi and I took money from the other churches. As a matter of fact, he used the word, I robbed them so that I could come here and preach to you so that you would know my motive. Something was brought to my mind this week, and I remember Terry and I lived out in a nice home in Woodstream Farms, and we had the water conditioning company, and we had a store over in Northtown Mall. And I opened the store because someone needed a job, and I did that to give them a job. I signed a one-year contract on the store, and 4 months in, that person quit and left. Not upset, just got sick. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have time to go over and set in Northtown Mall. So I prayed about it, and we put some information out there and only took phone calls, and we didn't man the store. And God told me to close down the water conditioning because He didn't call me here to run a water conditioning store. He called me here to pastor a church. So Terry and I's finances dropped, and it's amazing. When our finances dropped, we had a church that called us that was going to pay more money. We had two business offers. Both of them were double my salary. But I knew God had called me here, and I went to the church council, and I asked for a raise, which is, if you know me, that's totally out of my, I just don't do that. Why? Because God's always taken care of me. And it seemed like they were going to do it. And then one person spoke up and they said no. And I went home and I was hurt and I was didn't know what we were going to do. Now I look back on it, that was a time like God and Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. God told him to sacrifice him. Here you are, you have three offers. And here you have a church that doesn't want to help you. What are you going to do? And I started praying. And you know what God said? I called you. I called you there. So I called the other church and said no. I wrote a nice letter thanking the companies that for the offer. And we sold that house. Sold that house and bought a house that was $90,000 less. And God met our need financially. We made enough on that house to take care of our needs. Our board was controlled by God. Satan had nothing to do with that. God was testing me to see, are you going to stick with it? Are you going to go through it? Do you recognize your calling? It's a treacherous road. It's a difficult road. Some of you are on that road right now where you say, Lord, if you're real, show me this. And God isn't showing you anything. Say, Lord, I prayed and I'm sick and I'm weak and I don't know what to do and God hasn't done anything yet. I'll tell you what God did for us. I just felt like he gave us new life. And he gave me a new vision. I knew that I didn't come here out of looking for a job. I came here because God placed me here. And I will stay here until he takes me out. And you say, how old do you think you ought to be till you retire? I don't know. My goodness. Abraham is having babies at 80-some years old. I guess God can do whatever he wants. And I look around at some of you, and you're in pretty good shape. And if I'm going to live to be 120 or 100 years old, get new plates for that car, I don't have enough money to retire yet, so I'm going to have to stay. Long time ago, people would look at gold and they couldn't tell 10-karat gold from 18-karat gold or 14-karat gold or 12-karat gold. So there's a man, lived in the 1800s, named Paul Dore. And he came up with a system that he put a stamp on the gold that said it was 10-karat or 12-karat or 15-karat. People believed it because his work confirmed it. I wonder if people will believe us because our work confirms what we have done. Our work for Christ is to build his church. It's to spread unity. It's not to complain. It's not to tear down. It's not to tear up. It's not to talk about others. It's not to think that we have a better way because we are self-righteous. It's to do the work that God called us to do. And it is not easy sometimes to do that. And I can tell you that. Mary has said to me, Pastor, I don't know how you forgave that person after what they did. And I said, it's not about me. Not about me. And God's better off with people than he is without them. But our work will confirm our word. Paul went everywhere. He endured everything. Trouble, persecution. Said he was burdened for the church. And we are known by the things we do, the way we speak, and the way we treat others. That's a God that I know. You want to go to church where you're promised a new car and a big house and no troubles or no trials? Then you're in the wrong building. Because our people have heart attacks. Our people get cancer. Our people have financial problems. Our people lose their jobs. But we survive because we believe. That's the God I serve. I had someone come to me and say they went to an attorney, and the attorney said they would win this thing hands down, and how it would be all he needed was so many $1,000 down in order to make that happen. And I said, have you ever went to court? There's an attorney on both sides saying that to both people. And whichever attorney loses, they can blame the judge and walk away with your money. I don't want to go to a church like that. I want to be where the truth is proclaimed. And we have seen people healed. We have seen their finances turn around. We have seen their hearts fixed. We have seen their a new job given that's better than the old one. We have seen it. Not that we came here to seek it. We came here to seek the great I am, him. And we seek him. And when the day comes that God calls me home, I want to be with him. I want to be right with him. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you came to see us through. You came to spread open the Red Sea, that we might walk across on dry land. But Lord, help us not to forget the Egyptians were chasing the Israelites. We get worried, Lord. We sometimes wonder if you hear us. But by faith we know that your eye is upon us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And we're not afraid of dying to be with you. Because we're with you right now. And you've seen us through trials and tribulation and temptation. Is that a prosperity message? Surviving's what we need. And you're the only way we can get through this world and survive. Help us to rely upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.